You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
We're excited to have RX Destroyer sponsoring the Pharmacy Podcast Network. RX Destroyer is transforming the drug disposal space by bringing your facility and patients a simple and effective method of safely disposing of unused, unwanted medications. If you're worried about drug diversion and federal rules compliance, learn how RX Destroyer can keep you DEA compliant by checking out www.rxdestroyer.com/Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Listening to the NASP podcast. The Specialty Pharmacy Podcast is a collaboration with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy, the NASP, and the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The mission of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy is to improve specialty pharmacy practice by promoting continuing professional education and certification of specialty pharmacists while advocating for public policies that ensure patient access to specialty medications. As the healthcare industry's leading podcast dedicated to the pharmacy profession, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is proud to bring our listeners the NASP podcast in partnership with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us for another podcast here for Heritage Biologics. My distinct pleasure because I'm going to have a discussion today with Dr. Mahek Shah. He is a senior project leader and senior researcher at the Harvard Business School, and he works with several people, including Professors Robert S. Kaplan and Michael Porter, to design and implement new frameworks for restructuring healthcare systems around the world, value-based healthcare, with the overarching goal of delivering more value for the patient, better outcomes at lower costs. That introduction alone should explain why he is a perfect person for Heritage to interface with. His work and his set of values and goals pretty much echo exactly what Heritage is trying to accomplish. He received his medical degree from Baylor College of Medicine and went to undergraduate and graduated cum laude from Rice University, where he studied economics and religious studies. So, Mahek, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
So give us, you know, I suppose I just stole your thunder and gave some background, but give us a little bit more of a background in the sense of your work and your expertise.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, and thanks again for taking the time to speak with me today. As you mentioned, I'm a trained physician, and I've spent the better part of more than 10 years really focusing on redesigning our broken healthcare system, mainly to improve the outcomes and the experience for both patients and providers. And that's the reason I went to medical school, and actually prior to medical school, I spent some time in Wall Street at Citigroup. Most currently, though, I've been spending and leading our value measurement and healthcare team at the Harvard Business School, where I'm responsible for our costing projects globally. Primarily, this is centered around our value-based healthcare initiative, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that today.
Yes, definitely. So you're obviously quite busy, and one would clearly argue, looking at your CV, very well educated, and I think in a unique position to try to bring together what has, I think, historically been thought of as sort of differing, you know, conflicting views almost, if you will, in the sense of I'm a doctor and I'm only thinking about patient delivery care, and or I'm on the business side and I'm trying to look at it, you know, from the value perspective and cost savings. And, you know, there's sometimes been, a difficulty in the dialogue between those two, and I'm clearly oversimplifying this, but those two sort of worlds. And you have a unique ability to quite literally have a foot in both.
Yes, and looking back, and sometimes when I have moments of reflection, and historically healthcare has had this sort of what I would call a Chinese wall between the finance and administrative folks and the clinical frontline physicians who are highly educated and highly trained, but they're not educated or trained in business practices, in business lingo, in business skills, and they're very different skill sets fundamentally. And so my background is kind of, to your point, having both feet in on both sides. It's enabled me to really understand the language both from the provider perspective and their needs and understanding their desires and goals and ambitions, as well as what the administrative is, particularly nowadays, the C-suite and leadership of these health systems and ministries of health around the world are trying to tackle when it comes to moving from this fee-for-service model to a value-based model.
Well, and that's a lot of what the Harvard Business School's Institute for Strategy and Competitiveness is trying to help accomplish, right? And that's the core of a lot of what you do. Do you want to expand on that?
So the Harvard Business School has a number of initiatives. We're focused on advancing the body of knowledge, but also putting many of these areas of interest into practice. And so one of them happens to be value-based healthcare, which is led by Michael Porter and Bob Kaplan, professors at Harvard Business School. And this stemmed from Professor Porter co-authoring his book, Redefining Healthcare. From that, he developed a strategy. He is a strategy professor that many of us know. And he developed a framework to implement healthcare focused around value, where every other industry in the economy that he has been closely involved with and has helped influence is focused around value, where he found that healthcare is this sort of outlier in the economy where it wasn't focused around value and value for the customer. And in healthcare, our customer is the patient.
Right.
And about 7 years ago, he talked to Professor Bob Kaplan, who is the world's expert on cost accounting. Professor Kaplan is known for his work in balanced scorecard as well as a cost methodology known as time-driven activity-based costing. That's my particular area of expertise, is cost measurement using the bottoms-up approach that he developed. And so we work with health systems and providers, suppliers, and governments to design pilots using time-driven activity-based costing, or TDABC. We work with these organizations to help them create pilots and present strategies on how to take those pilots and scale them across their organization. And many of these organizations are often faced with challenges of how to move for this antiquated, broken fee-for-service model,
right,
and move towards a more value-based system to where the business interests align with their clinical interests. And as you and I both know, the reason we're in medicine and the reason we practice in the front lines, every doctor wants to provide the best outcomes for their patients. And so around the world, I had the fortune of working with incredible partners to advance this mission.
You started to touch on this and obviously some of the methodology, but just so I want to make sure our listeners are clear on it, what are some of the core fundamentals behind something like value-based healthcare? Or put maybe another way, you know, how are we defining it? And some of it, I suppose, seems obvious, like make people better. Well, okay, there's a value to that. But like we said earlier, this sort of new thought process for a lot of both the customers, a.k.a. the patients, but as well as the doctors, is to examine other aspects of what the word value means.
Certainly. It's the latest buzzword within the healthcare system. You know, a few years ago, if you recall, it was big data and analytics.
Right.
And patient engagement kind of was also brought in. And now it sort of seems to be value-based healthcare. But if you take a step back, and if your listeners think about it just from a very mountaintop, eagle-eye perspective, the goal of any system or healthcare system is to maximize the value for its customers, which is the patients. And we define value as the health outcomes that matter to patients over the cost to deliver on those outcomes.
Yep.
And based on this premise, Professor Porter outlined a six-step framework. And the first piece of the framework is to organize around the medical condition. Because in healthcare, what we've been doing is we've divided up ourselves into departments, you know, dermatology, cardiology. But we really should be organizing around the medical condition, you know, treating breast cancer or treating headaches and migraines, particular areas of medical of conditions that people are affected by.
Yep.
And so if we organize around the medical condition, we recommend creating what we call an integrated practice unit, or IPU, which is a multidisciplinary team focused on treating and managing that medical condition. So you have not just doctors, but you have nurses, you have physician assistants, you have speech pathologists if it's necessary, you have a clinical pharmacist, you have medical assistants and other frontline folks that are all basically on this team organized on how to most effectively treat that particular medical condition. The second step is to measure outcomes. And so we've been doing a very good job of measuring clinical outcomes and tracking certain laboratory markers that determine normal, abnormal statuses of health. But what we really should also be incorporating is the patient report outcomes. You know, how are our patients feeling? What are their goals? In addition, there are some other surrogates that we use, length of stay, readmission, et cetera, that many of your audience is familiar with. But what we need to do is package those outcomes together and measure them in a standardized form.
Right.
And the third piece of the framework is measuring costs. Now, this is a particular fun area for me as a former investment banker, but I think that measuring costs is something that, from a bottoms-up approach, hasn't been done enough and needs to be done more. A lot of, at least in the U.S. primarily, a lot of our what we call costs, we refer to as charges. And those charges are from a charge master, primarily set by CMS and large government organizations.
Right.
But those aren't the true cost to deliver care. And so it's using this very bottoms-up and granular form of costing and using this methodology of TDABC that really aligns the clinicians with the administrators to understand how to deliver the care at a manageable amount of cost. And then fourth, once you know your costs and you've measured your outcomes and you're having a standard approach to both of those things, then you can do what we recommend as a form of payment is a bundle payment. It's a single payment where it encompasses all the things that are necessary to treat that particular medical condition. And then you take that bundle payment and you negotiate that number, because it's going to differ from organization to organization, and you negotiate with a commercial payer, an employer now, are doing direct bundle payments and direct contracting. You would negotiate with governments and the ministries if you're in a lot of European countries or South Asia. And then 4, 5, and 6 get into how you expand and how to organize around there. But right. Fundamentally, it's around, you know, measuring outcomes and measuring costs and organizing around the medical condition.
And thank you for that, because the large overview of is unbelievably important. So now let's start to segue into it from the perspective of one of these other key players, and probably the one that's been historically the least monitored, because it's now out of the direct health system, if you will. Like, you've left the hospital or you've left my clinic, and now we're moving on into the world of specialty pharmacy, and I have, you know, transferred my sort of care for the patient onto an independent entity that, you know, isn't interfacing with the clinic or interfacing with the hospital. And so the work that you've been doing now to help bring the value-based specialty pharmacy model to life with Heritage, and the work you've been doing with, you know, major industry conferences and speeches there, can you segue it into a sort of the more detailed approach of the historical problems we've had in the whole specialty pharmacy world, and why your work can very much apply to what Heritage is trying to accomplish?
Most certainly. I think that the value-based healthcare agenda has been focused a lot on providers and health systems and how to better improve their mission and meet their needs as they transition from this fee-for-service to value-based model. However, there are other stakeholders in the healthcare industry, and when you spend $3 trillion in the U.S. per annum, there are other large players and entities that are important into the entirety of a care cycle for patients, and one of those is specialty pharmacy. And very little has been sort of known probably to the average consumer about specialty pharmacy, but it's a very significant part of the business and a very important member of the value chain. And until often that you become a patient requiring engagement with a specialty pharmacy, do you not realize the frustration and the broken system that is within the traditional specialty pharmacy model? And I believe, therefore, an opportunity for a company like Heritage to come in and introduce initiatives and programs to become the premier value-based specialty pharmacy in the country, if not the world. And so being able to have the privilege of speaking at these national conferences allowed me to meet other people that were forward-thinking and had questions around the value agenda, because they may have been exposed to that from health systems or from reading Harvard Business Review or other media. But I think that the leadership that Heritage has been taking in terms of both human capital and hiring the incredibly talented people that they have, as well as these programs that RxPx that I'm proud to be involved with and a part of, and I know you're very proud of as well,
yeah,
allows the patient's voice and patient experience to be a measurable outcome.
I'm struck by one of the things that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, one of the difficulties that's going on in all aspects of healthcare, and in particular in specialty pharmacy, is, you know, change is always difficult for everybody. You've had the model of how you've done it. Even a broken model, though, is still a, you know, a familiar model. But the idea of essentially starting a specialty pharmacy, but starting it from scratch and then from the core of it, building it around these principles of value-based healthcare, of that is the core principle, and we're going to be measuring outcomes, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that seems to be the core of RxPx and all aspects of what Heritage is trying to accomplish. But by taking, you know, everything that you've been doing and others, obviously with the Harvard Business School's Institute for Strategy and Competitiveness, but building it from the ground up, so you're not having to fight a culture of, you know, and change things. This is just how it's going to be within your company.
Exactly, and I think that the folks, the leadership here at Heritage has been taking that approach, is right. Change is hard, and once you admit that and move past that, then you say, okay, what do we need to do, and what do we need to accomplish, and how are we going to get there? And I think that in healthcare, because of the many stakeholders that are involved, as well as the large anchor on tradition, some of it is into the clinical mentality of, this is the way my mentor did it, or my... Right. My chair does it, so I'm going to do it this way. It's difficult. And also, it's about incentives and alignment of those incentives. I think it's very difficult for physicians to practice in a value-based world when they're compensated and they're expected to meet certain metrics based on a fee-for-service model. So until you make some changes that move the whole system and incentive model towards value, it's going to make it difficult to change. But if you take the approach that Heritage has been taking, in a, let's see what the current landscape is, what do we actually want to accomplish, and then third, how do we create initiatives to do that around patient experience, around measurement, around leadership? And I always like to say, and I've said this for a number of years, that if you have better design plus better experiences, that equals better medicine. And right. Very few people can argue with that particular statement. When you do those things, it's very difficult. You know, implementing our costing approach is intensive and devotes some resources. But once you do it, it's sort of like riding a bike. Once you get on that bike and you get going, you'll see the tremendous opportunities of the road ahead.
I would say nothing can stop you after that.
That's right.
I think that's the part that's most exciting. I mean, and I wonder, I mean, for yourself included, you know, at times when you're thinking things on a very large macro scale of trying to change all aspects of healthcare, to then quite literally almost boil it down and say, okay, we're going to take one spot and just make this change here. We're going to implement our principles, and now we're going to bring it real world. You know, we've given someone a blueprint and a guideline, and now let's watch them do it, and let's do it, and let's keep measuring it, because, of course, no one's under any illusion you get it right the first time. That's why you can make tweaks, but because you're constantly measuring, you know, the RxPx experience allows the patient experience to be out-measured and can be adjusted, and if there's something that Heritage needs to do differently, we're going to know it because we can constantly assess it.
That's right. And the mission and the agenda doesn't stop once you figure out what your current state of activities and delivery of care looks like around a medical condition. That's the foundation of where you can build an entire value-based home. And if you're lucky, you can build a large mansion to where everyone underneath that roof is fantastic in what they're doing in delivering care. But those that come visit, i.e. the patients, they're getting an incredible experience because there's a whole team focused around them. It's almost when you go to the Four Seasons or Ritz-Carlton, when you have those unique opportunities in life versus a standard, you know, motel on the side of the highway.
Right.
There's an incredible difference. The other thing is there's a willingness to pay for those experiences. That's why that a lot of patients are sort of, they've had this expectation in other areas of their life. Finance and banking has changed. Their whole experience of going to the mall or even buying online, if you look at everyone buys everything from Amazon now. So
right.
There's an expectation of meeting me where I'm at, providing the right care at the right time, at the right place, and with the right team. And I think if you can tackle those four elements, in addition to kind of wrapping it around measurement, both on outcomes but also on costs, so you as a business and as an organization can understand how to improve,
right,
then you're setting up yourself for success. You know, Professor Kaplan always liked to say, you know, you cannot improve things that you don't measure. You know, and healthcare is no exception to that rule.
That's fantastic. We've been talking for a little bit. I want to see if there's anything, you know, that a key component that we haven't touched on, or something that, you know, you're like, gosh, I wish that guy would ask me this. So is there anything that we haven't touched upon, or other final thoughts?
Sure. No, I think that, you know, in doing these elements of the value agenda in any organization, I think, one, you have to get leadership to be engrossed or understand the mission and the agenda. And I think that will help every organization and every group that wants to be involved with getting on this mission to really buy it in. And I think that the value train has already left the station. It's full throttle accelerating on its rails. And I think that, you know, capturing and understanding the patient experience in real time and setting new standards for not only health systems are doing this right now, like Mayo Clinic and then MD Anderson and others, but a new standard within this very large, important point of specialty pharmacy, and that's where Heritage is coming in with their patient-centered. And I think that the value-based healthcare initiative will continue. There's a global need for this, so it's not just isolated to the United States. Other countries are doing it and in seeing the results and opportunities that present themselves. And I think if we fundamentally want to improve our healthcare in the U.S., and compete with the rest of the world on health outcomes, we need to not only measure outcomes far better and understand the patient experience, but we must measure our costs. And that will take this costing approach that I implement.
Fantastic. Can't thank you enough for your time. I'm excited about your work. I'm excited about how your work interfaces with what Heritage is trying to accomplish. And I think this is a good thing and a great, great movement forward. So thank you so much for your time and for explaining to our listeners, you know, what you and others are trying to accomplish and how we're trying to bring it now to the real world.
It's my pleasure. I really appreciate you discussing this with me, Dr. Hogarth. And, you know, our group puts out articles and papers in clinical academic medical journals as well as other mainstream management press. So for your audience, please look out for many of those that are coming forth in this year.
Thanks for listening to the NASP podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your fellow pharmacists, doctors, and healthcare providers dedicated to optimal patient care. If you have ideas for future episode topics, please email the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Send your message to publisher@pharmacypodcast.com.